Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Medaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yatchil, and we're now in Masechet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Mem Dalad Amud Bet, looking at the next segment of Mishnah Dalad in the ninth parak, again dealing with the issues of the estate and what happens in the estate after father's died before it's divided up, and how the different obligations and rights devolve and disperse. In our sugya, will be devoted entirely to an obligation that is known as shush binut, which would best be translated as obligatory wedding gifts. And shush binut works as follows. As we'll see later on in the sugya, it is a wedding gift that is sent with a member of the family, or somebody brings a wedding gift, and while they celebrate for the 7 days with the chatan, at some point during that time, they give that gift. It is their joining in the celebration that obligates them, as we will see. And as a result of that, when the person who brought the gift gets married, the fellow who he brought the gift to, who got married beforehand, has now a real chiyuv that could be claimed in Beit Din to come back with a shush binut. All right, here we go. Ha'achim sha'asu k'tzatan shush binut b'chayei ha'av. So let's say that while father was alive, some of the brothers were sent to a wedding, or one brother was sent to a wedding with a gift. Then one of the brothers gets married, and that fellow now comes to bring the shush binut. It's put into the main pot, not given to that individual brother. Why shush binut nigbeit beit din? Because it is something that's collectible in beit din. Aval hasholeach lachaviro kadei yain v'kadei shemen. But if somebody just sends gifts that aren't formal shush binut, but some wine, some oil, whatever they might send as part of the wedding celebration. That's just a gift. They're not collectible. If somebody sent a nice gift to another person for his wedding, that person now does not have an obligation to return a gift such that the original donor can now claim something back when he gets married. Okay, Urminhi, we have a challenge. Shalach lo aviv shush binut. Let's say father sent shush binut, meaning father's alive. It comes back to that brother who went with it, meaning father sent one son to a wedding with shush binut, and then father died, and then the fellow who originally got it now is coming to that son's wedding. It goes to that son alone, not to the estate. Exact opposite of our Mishnah. But the opposite, if somebody came to the father and brought a shush binut, then chozer min ha'emtza. Then the estate brings it back, meaning when that guy, when father was getting married and he sent shush binut to the father, then when it comes back from the estate. Now, Amar Rabbi Asi Rabbi Yochanan, so we have several resolutions to this. Resolution number one, kitnan amatniti nishtachal aviv tnan. Our Mishnah should be read different than it reads. It doesn't read sent from the father, but sent to the father. V'ha'achin sh'asumik satan shush binut tnan. But the language of the Mishnah is brothers who did shush binut. So tani limik satan. So don't read did, but rather was done to them. V'achazra shush binut tani. But it says it returns, meaning it returns to the outside guy. Hakama chazra ligvot nigbet b'amtsa. Meaning that if the family comes if the fellow comes to claim it, it's claimed from the middle. But not that it goes to the middle. Okay, that's Rabbi Asi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi Amar, his own approach is, Lokasha, kan bistam, kan mfaresh. It depends. When father originally sent the shush binut to the kid, did he just send it, stam, this is from the family, which goes back to the family, or did he mfaresh say, this is from the son? Kedetanya, shalach lo aviv shush binut, kshi chozer, chozer et lo. So if father sent it with one person, it comes back to that guy. Shalach aviv shush binut stam, but if he just sent it with one of the kids, but it was coming from the family, then she chazer chazer at laemtza. Then it comes back to the estate. So that's Rabbi Asi's answer. Shmuel Amar is the third answer. Hachab yavamaskino. What we're talking about is where the original kid, who was the guy who brought the shush binut, it really should come back to him, like the Braita says. What happened is he died, and therefore his yavam is now claiming it, and the outside fellow is saying, I'm not going to give it to him. He wasn't at my wedding. So therefore it goes to the middle. Because of Yavam, who inherits, does not inherit things that would be coming later to the dead brother whose place he's taking. Rather, they come to only things that the dead brother had in his property, in his possession, or is alive. And this is coming later, so therefore the Avraham does not inherit it. So Chal de'irach v'shalem. But then you could have the following question. Why should this fellow who's bringing the doron, the gift, who originally was a chatan and now he's repaying it, why should he repay it at all? After all, we'll see. Leimat nu leishush b'ni v'smachimo. Why doesn't he say, I have a gift for that guy, bring him and I'll give it to him and I'll rejoice with him. He's dead? Too bad. I'm not going to give it to anybody. After all, we have Milo, Tanya, Makom Shnagulach, Zir Kiddushin, Machzirin. In case Kiddushin is broken up, in those places where the minig is that the girl sends it back, they do Makom Shnagulach, Zir in Machzirin. And if the minig is not, then not. V'yamar of Yosef bar Abba Amar Mar Ukva Mar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Lo Shanu Ella Shemait Tahi. That's only if she dies, then it's dependent on minig. Aval Meitu, but if he dies, Ein Machzirin. Right? My time, huh? She never has to return the Kiddushin. If he died, or he broke it up, she never has to return the Kiddushin. Why? Because she could always say, bring me a husband and I'll rejoice with him. In the meantime, I'm giving the Kiddushin. So the same question here. Why does the outside guy have to send the gift to the family at all? Why doesn't he say, if that guy were alive, I'd rejoice with him. He's not here. Too bad. So Amar Rav Yosef, Achav Amay Eskinen. So what are we talking about in our Mishnah? And now we have to get into a kind of a stretch circumstance. In other words, the fellow came and was supposed to bring a gift. He was there for the whole week with the original guy who had come to him. He owed it now. And V'lo Yispik L'Foro Ad Shemeit. And what happened is this fellow died during the 7 days of his own celebration, or afterwards, but the outside fellow had not yet paid him. So now what happens? The obligation is there. He did celebrate with him. And therefore, he's fully obligated to bring the Shushbinut because he has the obligation and the fellow's not there. It goes La'emtsa. So that's our Mishnah. Okay, next piece. Lema tnuli ba'ali v'smachimo tanoihi. Maybe this argument that we had earlier that said that a woman who's affianced and the fiancé dies doesn't have to ever return the Kiddushin, because she could just say, bring him on and I'll celebrate with him. He's not here? No, not my problem. Perhaps that's a machloket tanoim. The Tanya, hama'aresat ha'isha, let's say somebody has erusin and then it's broken off. We'll see why. Betulago v'matayim v'mon amaneh. So the minimum ketubah is always collected. Makom sh'nachzul nagul achzir Kiddushin machzirin. Makom sh'nachzul shlo achzir Kiddushin ein machzirin. But as far as returning Kiddushin, that depends on the local minhag. Divrei Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Omer, Be'emet Amru, Makom Shtaku Lachzir Machzirin, Makom Shtaku Shlo Lachzir En Machzirin. Rabbi HaNasi just repeats what Rabbi Natan says, but he just adds Be'emet Amru. So what's he adding here? So the obvious question is, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Omer, Be'emet Amru, the same as Rabbi Natan, Halav, Tuli Ba'ali V'Smachim Oikim Minayu. That their difference is that exact claim, and we have to read a chazor machzura. Chazor machzura achikani. This is how the brayta should read. Hamiyareis etayisha b'tula gova matayim v'manam mane. Right. So the ketubah is always paid. Medvar memurim dehader behiu. That's only if he backs out. Aval meta. But if she dies, then certainly there's no ketubah. Makom shnagul achzir machzirin. Makom shnagul shelo achzir en machzirin. If she dies, then the family having to pay back to the kiddushin to the fellows dependent on minute. That's only if she died. But if he died, we absolutely don't return it. My taima, meaning the girl doesn't have to return the kiddushin to the man's family. Because she could say, if he were here, I'd celebrate with him. I would rejoice with him. And that's Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Yonasi, the member, Rabbi Yonasi comes and says, whether he or she dies, it's all the same. It's all dependent on minig. Meaning, if the local minig is to return it, even if he died, she has to return it, and she can't claim, I don't care about the local minig, I'm ready to be married with him. He died, I'm not going to return it. Which means that this claim of Tunli Ba'ali V'Smachimo is a machloka between Rabbi Natan and Yehuda HaNasi. That's a way of interpreting the Braita. Say, look, now we're going to claim that claim is somebody everybody accepts. If I'm ready to do my obligation and I accepted money for that obligation, then I'm not going to return that money because I'm ready to do it. I'm not backing out at all. All right, so then we have to interpret the Braita, because again, the Braita is difficult because we're not from Yehudah and Asi seem to be saying the same thing. And so therefore, we have to read it as follows. Udemitu, if he dies, everybody agrees that she can not return it, no matter what the local minig is, because she can say, I'm ready to celebrate. Ki pligi shemetahi, the machloket, Rabbi Yehudah and Asi, Rabbi Natan, that there has to be one, is if she died. The question is, are kiddushin something that can be sued for? When she backs out or she dies, can the husband now sue for kiddushin? Okay, let's see how that plays out. Rabbi Natan savar kiddushin lava tibuin nitnu, and therefore, when she died, the fellow cannot come to the family and say, I want my kiddushin back. He says, yes. But the Braita stipulated that it was based on minig, not based on some not on the din of kiddushin l'tivuin. So the answer is v'sivlonot. In addition to what we discussed, sivlonot, which are gifts that are sent by the fiancé to his affianced during their betrothal. Certainly, in a place where the minig is to return it, then it has to be returned. Meaning that even if you say kiddushin lav l'tivuin nitnu, and when she died, he can't now come to the family and say, I want the kiddushin back. But he could certainly say that nice set of china that I sent and the nice bracelets I sent as gifts, those I want back, and that's a claim. Mahani tanoi kani tanoi. So that machloket tanaim, Rabbi Yehudah and Asi Rabbi Natan, follows an earlier machloket tanaim, the Tanya. Kicha v'chikar, let's say that he was mekadesher with a huge kikar of kesef, which is way more than the value. So that means, and then something happened, he broke out, or broke off. So then if the wedding is broken off, she still collects from that kikar the proper amount of the ketubah. Divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehudah Omer, betulah gova matai ma'anah maneh, machzeret lo atashar. He says what she has to do is collect her ketubah out of that and return the rest of the kikar, which all of that was kesef kiddushin. So it sounds like kiddushin l'tivuin nitnu is the machloket. Rav Meir says lav l'tivuin nitnu, and even though she may have been the cause for breaking off, he can't claim it back. And Rabbi Yehudah says he can. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, kicha be'esrim noten la'shloshim chatzain. If he was mekadesher with 20, which is 20 ma'a, which comes out to be, which comes out to be 40 zuz, then he has to return to her shloshim chatzain. In other words, he has to return to her enough to make up for the ketubah. Kicham shloshim noten la'shloshim chatzain. So memay askinan. What are they? What's the circumstance here? Eli mashemeta. If we're talking about a case where she died, so meet like ketubah, she doesn't get any ketubah, and we're saying she collects money matayim, and either does or doesn't return the rest. And we'll take a look at Rabbi Yehuda's middle, Rabbi Yossi's middle approach in a minute. Ve'ela shemeta. It must be a case where he died. So my machzer lo atashar. So if he died, then why does she return the rest to him? Why can't she just say, I collected all this for a wedding, I'm ready to get married, he's not here, too bad. So, and we just got through saying that everybody agrees that she can say, Tunli Bali Vesmachimo. The case must be here where the wedding was broken up, not because anybody died, and not because anybody backed off, but because she had relations outside the marriage, which now made the marriage legally impossible to continue. Or to consummate. Now, uvamai, I baratzon meet laktuba. If she was on a baratzon, she loses the ktuba totally. And our situation starts out with clearly everybody agreeing she gets the ktuba. Ve'ala ba'onis, it must be a case where she was raped. So mishra sharyala, then there's no reason you can't continue. Ve'ala ba'eshet kohen shenensa, must be an eshet kohen that was raped. Remember, an eshet kohen who's raped is asura labala, but she certainly can't lose any monies that are coming to her. And the machloket between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is whether kiddushin l'tibuin nitnu, meaning if for some reason the wedding doesn't happen, then can he claim the kiddushin back? Rav Meir says kiddushin l'tibuin nitnu. He says that it's claimable. Then she can claim to get the kiddushin from him because it was broken up. Rabbi Yehuda says lav l'tibuin nitnu. It's not, and therefore she has to return the rest. He takes a middle position. He's not sure which is the correct thing. Hilkach kitcha ba'asur noten la'shloshim chatzayin, kitcha ba'shloshim noten la'asur chatzayin. Therefore, if he was mekadosher with 20 sla'im, which is 80 dinarim, and let's say that she's an almana, he still owes her 100, then he gives her 30 halves, right, which is 60 dinarim, right, which means that she'll return her piece, but he'll still pay her back the ketubah. And vice versa, if he was mekadosher with 20, then he has to end up returning 30 to her to make up for the ketubah. Okay, and at 30, then he has to return 20, which will be 40, which will make up to 100. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Bar Menuhmi, Amar Rav Nachman. B'chol makom she'na'adgu l'achzir, machzirin. That right, he says the halacha is wherever the minig is to return it, we return it. Uvetarguma v'nahardeya. And what that meant was Nahardeya. That's the city where the minig is to return. Shar Bavel Mai. What's the halacha everywhere else in Bavel? Rabbi Yosef Narvayu, Mari Hadri. Ketuba goes back. Kiddusha lo Hadri. Kiddusha are not returned. Rav Papa, Hilchata ben shemeitu ben shemeitahi v'hadar behu. So the halacha is whether he died or she died. Or he went back on the changed his mind. Mari hadri, the ketubah comes back. Kiddushin lo hadru, but kiddushin don't go back. Hadru ba'i, but if she backed out of the marriage, afilu kiddushin nami hadri, everything goes back. Hamemra ma'i kiddushin lo hadri, why gzera shama yomru, kiddushin tofsin ba'achota. Because what will happen if she returns the kiddushin? People think the kiddushin was never valid, whereas it really was valid, but she just owes the money. But people think they were never mekudeshet. And then people will think if he marries the sister, it's valid. And it's not, because the woman's still alive. He says, that's not a problem, because she has a get. And therefore, everybody knows that she was originally married to him. But that's not a correct statement, or brutahi. Ravashi never would have said that, because he could have shamavaha. Some people might have heard about the kiddushin coming back and not heard about the get. And therefore, they'll think the kiddushin tofes b'achota. And we don't want to have that misimpression out. Okay, the Mishnah said, "Shushush binut nigbet b'vaytin." It's collectible and dated. Tana Rabbanan. Chamisha dvarim nemru b'shush binut. This Brayta says there's five rules about shush binut. Nigbet b'vaytin. It's collected in the beitin, meaning it's collectible. Choser ponatah. It's returned at its time, meaning it's returned when the guy who originally gave it, it's paid back when he gets married, not on some date, but when he gets married. Vein b'mishum ribit. There is no problem with ribit if the gift given later is significantly more or less than the original one, even though it looks like a milveh. Ve'ena shrit mishamatata. Also, shmita doesn't cancel his debt. Ve'ena b'chor el teba pishnayim. And a b'chor will not get pishnayim if the shushbinut comes back to the middle. It was shushbinut originally the father went, and now it comes back to the middle. The b'chor doesn't get pishnayim for a reason that's fairly obvious. Let's see what the deal is. Nikveitin maitama kimilvedamya, because we regard the shushbinut like a debt. And therefore, it can be collected in Beitin. And onata is obvious. In other words, you did not give the gift intending to have it be paid, that particular gift be paid back, or a similar thing. You gave a gift because part of going to the wedding is bringing a gift, and part of staying there for 7 days celebrating with them is sort of paying your piece. So he's going to pay his piece, but it wasn't a quid pro quo loan. Ve'ena shrit mishamata, the shmita does not cancel it. So lo karina be lo yigos. Because the Torah's prohibition of dunning somebody for a debt doesn't apply here, because there's no point that that's happening. It doesn't come due until the guy gets married. This is clearly ro'i, because it's when one of the sons is getting married after father died, then the shush binut comes back. Well, b'chor doesn't get pishnayim, but ro'i lavo l'charmita. So I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana now sort of echoes, meaning picking up on rules of shush binut. Kala de shush binita works as follows. Havi b'mata, if the guy's in town when the other fellow's getting married, the fellow who originally came to his wedding, he b'ayla the meita, he has to come to the wedding. Shama kol tavla, if he heard the gong ring that announces the wedding, he b'ayla the meita, he has to come. So lo shama kol tavla. Let's say he didn't hear about it. Meaning, let's say that the chatan didn't go out of his way to invite this fellow. So the chatan should have let him know. And taruot itle. And this guy has a claim. Why didn't you invite me to your wedding? Why didn't you let me know? But shlom mishalim, he still has to pay. But he doesn't have to pay as much as he would have had he been there, because he didn't celebrate at the wedding. He didn't eat there. The ad kamar abaya nagu b'nei ganana. So the local minig is, ad zuza aite b'chape achle b'charase. If the original shush binut was a very small amount, like a zuz, then then he doesn't pay anything. All right, because it's sort of like it, that's what would be getting eaten up. He wasn't there to eat. Ad arba until the four zoos, Michelle and Palga. He pays half of what the original shushpinut was. Mikan va'elach, inish inish kachashivute. Anything bigger than that. So they didn't give huge gifts. Anything bigger than that is all based on the wealth and the importance of each player. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Asayim obe fumbe ubikesh lasotim obe tzina. Let's say the original first wedding was public, and now the second wedding is a very private one. Yacholomar lefumbe asayimach yaderach shasitaymi. He could, the guy, which originally the chatan, could say to the other fellow, I'm willing to come and celebrate with you at a big public wedding, not in some private thing. In other words, it should be like my wedding. Asayim obe betula, if the original wedding was with a wedding of a betula, and then this next wedding that he's getting invited back to is with an almana. He could say, I'm willing to come to a betula wedding, meaning it's a much more festive wedding. Same thing. If the fellow originally got married to a second wife, it was a certain kind of wedding, and this other guy's getting married to a first wife, he can say if he wants, I'm not going to come, which is I'm also not having an obligation and don't have an obligation towards you of shishpinut until you have a second wedding. Let's say this original fellow's wedding was with one wife, and this other fellow was having with two, so he could say that I'm only going to come if it's like the original wedding. Okay, now we have a little bit of agadah to finish the piece, which only connects to the notion of pumbe that we mentioned. Tan Rabbanan. Atir nechassin, atir pumbe. If we talk about somebody who's wealthy in property, wealthy in fame, zehu bal hagadot. This is somebody who knows a lot of agadah. He's referring to Talmid Chachamim. Atir slaim, atir tekoa. Somebody who's rich with coins or rich with houses. Zehu bal pilpul. This is somebody who knows how to extract one thing from another via pilpul. Atir Meshach, Atir Kamas, somebody who has oil and hidden things. Zel Bal Shmuot, that's somebody who has a lot of records of halachot. Hakol Tzuchin Lamar Chitai, but everybody needs the fellow with wheat, which is Talmud. Amar Rizerim Rav, that's the famous discussion in the end of Horayot, of Sinai Nokahari. Amar Rizerim Rav, my dichtiv kol yimei ani ra'im, all the days of a poor man are difficult. Zel Bal Talmud, that's somebody who's learning Talmud. It's always hard work. Tov lev mishtet tamid, but somebody who's doing well, who's happy, is always having a party. Zeb bal mishnah, that's somebody who has a mishnah, he does one mishnah after the other. It's very simple. That's the take. Rav Amar Yipcha, Rav says the opposite. That the Talmud is the one which is great, because it's a lot more enjoyable. And mishnah is just diligence going over it. Talmud is where the analysis and the chidush comes. Somebody who has to carry heavy rocks. Comes out with them, but somebody who chops wood becomes wealthy through that. It's difficult. You have to trudge Mishnah after Mishnah. He interprets it differently. That's somebody who's got an evil woman or a bad woman, bad wife. He's always got a difficult life. That's somebody who's fastidious. Everything he does is difficult for him. Somebody who's comfortable. He doesn't mind the circumstances. That's somebody who is always compassionate. He's always giving to other people and is always difficult. So he reads it differently. This is somebody who's cruel and he's always enjoying himself because he's never giving to others. Somebody who's not that sharp. Somebody who is either brighter, or another interpretation is datok tzara means he's very quick to get angry, and the other is somebody who's very patient and doesn't get angry quickly. Rav Shimon Levi, we have another drasha. How can you say all the days of an ani are difficult? You have Shabbos and Yontif. When things change, that's when you get sick, when you change conditions. So if you're used to not eating much and suddenly you have a nice meal, even though you enjoy it, it could hurt you. So even Shabbos and Yontif is bad for this ani, because now he's eating well, it's going to be difficult for him. Ketiva Sefer Ben Sira. Now they quote from the book of Ben Sira, from the Apocrypha. Koy me'ani ra'im, etzira omer af leilot, even nighttime. B'shefal ganim gago, His roof is a low roof. And the roof of all the water, the rain of all the other roofs comes on his roof. And his kerem is always on the highest point in the mountains, where he can get the cheapest land. He's a poor person. And therefore, all of the stuff from his kerem ends up going to the other kerem, all of the good dirt, which means that he's got the lowest roof, so therefore all the rain comes on his roof, and he's got the highest kerem, and therefore all of the good stuff leaves his kerem and goes to other people's kerem. Okay, we'll pick it up in the next Mishnah, the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.